some advice on traffic patterns, and tips on flying into Oshkosh from a guy who does it every year. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, also of Bob Miller Flight Training in the Buffalo, New York area. And we'd like to get together with Bob on Mondays and talk about safety issues, because it's a good way to start the week. Bob, we appreciate you taking some time out today. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, as always, Paul.
In the July issue of Over the Airwaves, you talked about an issue where somebody in a light plane was flying a great big, huge Boeing 747-type pattern, and some problems that caused for you and another pilot who were in the pattern. Relate that to our listeners briefly, if you would.
We were going into a fly-in dinner type of thing at a local non-towered airport recently. Happened to be my own airport over at Lancaster, just 6 miles east of Buffalo. And we were on the downwind following an airplane just ahead of us. We were number two for landing. And at the expected point where he should have been turning base, for some reason he kept flying eastward. He had gone out maybe a mile and a half before turning on base. And so I, with a student on board, trying to set the best example I could, said, listen, we're not going to turn base ourselves until he's on final abeam our left wing. This is in a normal left-hand pattern, which put us out, extended our downwind to a base that was, again, better than a mile out from the runway. Well, as we turned on final and were setting up for landing, all of a sudden, from our left came a little red pitch special. He cut ahead of us, and between us and the runway, and caused us to have to do some quick S-turns in order to maintain proper spacing. And in poor form, as I shouldn't have done, but I did key the radio mic and I said, nice maneuver, Pitts, and in somewhat of a sarcastic tone. And he immediately came back on the radio, which I emphasize is no place to carry on a discussion like this. But he then quipped that, well, if you guys kept a normal size pattern, I wouldn't have had to do this. And then there was no further communication. But the irony of it was the Pitts himself had to go around because the guy that caused the problem in the first place was still short of the runway, and the Pitts guy couldn't get in. The whole thing, if we go back and trace the beginning of this problem, was the guy in front of us who was carrying on this airliner size traffic pattern. It just makes the whole pattern really unworkable because everybody is forced to follow in trail. And when it happens at a place like Oshkosh, where we have a whole, you know, conga line of airplanes coming in, it can take a normal pattern and extend it out literally for miles. And this is downright dangerous. And I have a sense I know where the problem begins, and that's something we can talk about if you like.
First, let's talk about why traffic patterns are set up the way they are. And this is something that was drilled into my head when I was learning to fly. My instructor would frequently ask me when we had gone to a new airport, could you make the field from here or could you make the strip from here? And it occurred to me that if you're flying cross country, you want enough altitude that you have options if things go wrong. When you get to the vicinity of the airport, the destination airport, when you get down to being on downwind, you want to be close enough to the runway that if the noise suddenly quit, you could make the runway. And you can't do that if you're a mile out from the runway at 1,000 feet. You just can't do it.
Well, right on, Paul. I mean, your example and what your instructors told you is right on. We never want to be in an airplane at an altitude anywhere where we cannot affect a safe landing if we lost that engine. Now, sometimes that happens, where the terrain below us is just too hostile. But I ask my students a similar question. I said, if we lose the engine in the pattern, how are you going to explain the fact that you put a otherwise perfectly good airplane into the tree short of the runway? And that is a good guideline. But I think perhaps even more importantly than that, patterns are to be kept tight so that we can see other traffic in the pattern. That's the busiest place, the busiest airspace, and when we have people extending out a mile and a half, particularly on a hazy day, we can't see them. And so we may be tempted to pull out on the runway, not believing that there's a person out there on final. Particularly in an airport where perhaps radios are not being used. It might be a J3 Cub or somebody not talking on the radio. But I want to make the point to our listeners that these large traffic patterns are created. And they're created oftentimes by flight schools that operate out of tower-controlled airports. When the tower controller is extending or controlling the pattern, and he's advising people when to turn base so as to fit a flow of traffic, those patterns tend to be very large. And when you do most of your training at a tower-controlled airport, that's where these large pattern habits are developed. And I don't think it's the fault of the instructor, because more often than not, he's following tower commands or tower clearances or instructions. But we need to take these instructors and we need to take these students out to non-towered fields and let them practice. One of the best practice techniques that I have is the power off 180-degree landing. And we do that almost as a rule rather than as an exception. In other words, you're on downwind. Just as soon as your wing is abeam the end of the runway, slowly retard the power to idle, begin your descent, begin your turn to base, begin your turn to final, and it all can be done within a half a mile of the end of the runway, which is consistent, by the way, with what the Airman's Information Manual has to say about patterns.
Oh, there are interesting variations on patterns at some airports based on different types of aircraft as well. I know that many small airports have an ultralight pattern that calls for 500 feet AGL and generally are flown much closer to the runway because those aircraft, you know, have capabilities of making the field, you know, from very tight in. And a lot of light sport aircraft maybe could fly smaller patterns even than a 172.
Well, they're very capable of it. I mean, we can fly very, very tight patterns, and they should be. Again, it keeps everybody in sight with one another. We have a large tower-controlled airport in Niagara Falls nearby that we share. It's a public joint military-civilian use, and we share that pattern with C-130s and KC-135s. Those are larger patterns, particularly the KC-135s, and sometimes we can be put in trail to these guys, and you know, we could be 3 miles from the end of the runway before tower turns us on base. But an exercise that flight instructors should routinely do with their students, I believe, is the 180-degree power-off landing that I've just described. And the students will see how safe, how easy a maneuver that can be. But that maneuver, of course, should not be done if it's going to wind up cutting off traffic on a longer final. These maneuvers should be done at an airport where traffic is everybody's following the same traffic flow. But I think if you polled pilots, surveyed experienced pilots, they would all say almost universally that one of the greatest problems in the typical traffic pattern is that it gets too large.
All right. Well, Bob, we're going to talk about the conga line you mentioned earlier and talk about Oshkosh in a moment. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller, and we're talking about patterns today, and we need to talk about one of the most famous patterns that ever happens in July, and that is when Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin becomes the busiest airport in the world for a couple of days. And we're talking specifically about EAA Air Venture. Bob, I know you're going to be flying into there, and you have done it several times in the past. Let's talk about some tips for our listeners who may be doing that for the first time this year.
Well, I have a three-word admonition for all pilots going into Oshkosh or Sun and Fun or any of the big airport big events like that. That three-word admonition is read the NOTAM.
Right.
The FAA puts out a NOTAM that describes in graphic detail, and more graphics now than ever before, exactly what is expected of pilots coming into Whitman Field during Oshkosh. And that NOTAM should be committed, number one, it should be committed to memory. Number two, I always try to have a safety pilot with me when I'm flying into Whitman. I always do. There's no shortage of pilots who want to ride along into a Whitman Field arrival during Oshkosh. And that individual, that safety pilot, needs to have that NOTAM open on his or her lap and just checking off as we proceed inbound.
Well, now that NOTAM is a fairly extensive NOTAM. Is it even possible to fit it on your lap?
Sure. Yeah, it comes out in an 8.5 by 11 format, and not all parts of the NOTAM will apply to a particular flight. For example, IFR arrivals have different parts of that NOTAM that apply to individuals coming in VFR, say from the south or from the west, where there's there's transition fix like FISC and the various lakes and railroads that we follow in, but there are elements of that we absolutely need to commit to memory, depending upon, again, how our arrival route will take us to the airport.
Well, now they have something kind of unusual in that circumstance, and they have spotters miles out that kind of help the tower controllers get prepared for what is coming their way. And you're not going to hear people call out your N numbers when you're flying into Oshkosh.
No, you're going to hear them refer to you by type of aircraft or color of aircraft. And your response in most cases is simply rock your wings that you've acknowledged the call to you. Now, that opens up another area of discussion. If you're on the turning base to final and you're going low and slow and the tower says rock your wings, be careful. We could rock our wings into a stall and a spin, and I suspect that was the contributing factor to an accident that occurred over at Oshkosh, I believe, just last year. But nonetheless, just be attentive and follow the guy in front of you. Relax. Have everybody on board the airplane, including children, if they're sitting in the back, watching out for other aircraft.
Well, and the other thing is that if they're going to be giving commands like white high wing airplane acknowledge, and you're supposed to rock your wings, if you're in a conga line of all identical Cessna 172s, that may be a little confusing.
Well, it can, and I think ATC is sensitive to the fact of, first of all, let me also commend those guys. These are volunteer, well, I'm sure they're paid, but the folks that come up and work ATC for the FAA up at Oshkosh, they're there voluntarily. They're the best of the best of the best. Pay attention, listen to what these fine folks have to say. This is no place where you will be criticized. They are given special counseling, I'm sure, to be very sensitive to pilots that are not obeying every instruction. I also want to point out that it is a very, very safe walk in the park type of experience to fly into Oshkosh during Oshkosh week, even during busy times, because just the way it's set up, it flows beautifully. It does a great job at bringing airplanes in. I'm not quite so comfortable with the arrival procedures into Sun and Fun. They've had some other issues. They have some other constraints over there that make arrivals a little bit more difficult. But Oshkosh, really, as far as the big air shows are concerned, is not a difficult arrival.
But you do want to be at your best and have gotten a good night's sleep and, you know, not have something far too interesting on the XM channel you're listening to and be talking to somebody in the back seat at the time you do that. You want to be focused.
Yes, you want to be focused. And a trick that I've learned a long time ago is it's a far easier exercise to come into Whitman Field during Oshkosh week on an instrument flight plan than it is to come in VFR over all of the various checkpoints.
Interesting.
Yes, it is, because Chicago Approach is handling you right on up to almost to the point where they hand you off to Whitman Tower. And even though the NOTAM does say and encourage us to cancel our IFR, I don't know, some 50 miles out or 40 miles out, even still, coming in on the IFR flight plan seems to produce a better sequencing, or an easier sequencing, I should say, into the traffic flow.
All right. Well, Bob, as always, we appreciate some tips from somebody who's been there, and we look forward to seeing you next week at Whitman Field.
Same here, Paul. Looking forward to seeing you.
You can find a link to Bob Miller's writings on Over the Airwaves at overtheairwaves.com. and you'll also find a link there to Bob Miller Flight Training Incorporated. Bob Miller has been my guest, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.